Welcome to the Tiny House Ideas Podcast.
Today's episode, episode 11 of the Tiny House Ideas Podcast, we're going to be discussing Airbnbs, rentals, and what it's like to short-term let your tiny house. And to talk about this with me and give us a greater insight, I'm joined by Cole. Cole's the owner of Twin Rivers Tiny Home in California, and we're going to be talking about the design style, the aesthetic, the things that you need to have in place for people that come to rent your tiny house, and lots more. So if you've ever stayed in a tiny house, or if you've got a tiny house that you let out, there's some tips and tricks for both of you, and we're going to be discussing that on today's episode, so enjoy.
Welcome to the Tiny House Ideas Podcast, the show where we talk about how to live a more fulfilling life with less. My name's Harry Alvarez-Garman, and I've got tons of exciting guests lined up for you, including authors, entrepreneurs, and tiny house owners. If you love minimalism, sustainable living, personal development, and everything in between, then you're in the right place. On this show, we'll be talking about how you can do more of what you love, how to turn your passion into a career, and how to live more sustainably.
Hello, my name is Cole Henry Hertlein. I'm the owner and host of Twin Rivers Tiny Home, a Latvian retreat. We've been doing business on Airbnb in Northern California since December of 2019, and we have loved every minute of it. And we have been using a Escape 1XL tiny home. It is 388 square feet. It has two lofts, wonderful build. It weighs around 11,000 pounds. And just been a miracle to own. Every experience we've had with us personally, as well as our wonderful guests that have come over to visit, everyone has loved it. And we've done many additions to it over how this pandemic. We've added accent walls. We have done headboards for both beds in each loft. We have completely redone the entertainment area and the living area. We built a custom bar made out of iron oak, and it turned out way better than we ever imagined it to be. And we have many more projects to come up with it.
Amazing. That all sounds brilliant. Thank you for that little introduction to yourself. So I'll start by asking, where did it all start? What sort of got you interested in tiny houses? What made you, what inspired you to start the Airbnb?
Yeah, so I had been interested in that particular home model of the tiny homes by Escape since I was about 14 years old. I love things that are very geometric and very square as well, and very much a fan of the modernistic architecture. Every other tiny house, they seem to be more kind of like a park model home, I'd say. They're very traditional, very classic, and not many are modernistic. And just so happened that Escape was one of the first tiny home manufacturers to really adapt into that world. Then I met my wonderful fiance from Latvia, hence a Latvian retreat. We decided to take the plunge and see what happens.
Brilliant. Oh, what a backstory. That's brilliant. Really, really enjoyed hearing about that. So you said it's sort of, to summarize, tiny house with a modern twist, so it sort of appeals to the next generation of sort of tiny home dwellers, people that are looking to take a holiday. Obviously, it's up on Airbnb at the moment. Tiny house with a modern twist. Brilliant.
Yes, absolutely.
So you've got it up for Airbnb at the moment. What's your experience been sort of having it rented out, hosting guests? Obviously, it's been a difficult time, I can imagine, the last few months with everything going on. But what's been your experience?
I would say it's been a trial by fire experience. Everything has rapidly changed over the course of the last few months, yet mostly for the better. We started the Airbnb in early December. We just got the house in November last year. We had a few bookings here and there, but as soon as the pandemic hit, after the permanent quarantines were off in the main residential areas of California and the Bay Area, many people were looking for escapes and getaways into the mountains. Yeah. And us being a 40-acre property in the heart of the Sierra Nevada gold country, many people flocked to the area and wanted to experience the tiny home life.
Exactly. Yeah, so, I can imagine they wanted to get away from the hustle and bustle with everything going on and just really find some peace and just find some space to unwind and just catch up with everything.
Definitely. Yes. And we have, as I said, we have 40 acres, 12 of which is a walnut orchard, and we're backed up against all privately owned by my family. We have 320 acres on my uncle's side, and we have 400 acres of government-owned Bureau of Land Management land over there as well, that we have the access to, as well as the grazing rights. So our guests are
Yeah, the grazing rights, there. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And
massive.
Yes, our own little island, as we like to call it, to our guests. Everybody seems to very much enjoy it.
Yeah, brilliant. Oh, that's really good to hear. So you said you've obviously got so much land. The grazing rights, obviously, you've got animals, I can imagine, grazing on that portion of the land. What else is on the rest of the land? Is there sort of woodland, lakes, streams, walks?
Lots of wood. Yes, we have various different oak trees and quite a few pines as well.
Yeah.
And it's a very hilly area. Lots of golden hills in the summer, but during the colder months, as well as spring, fall, winter, everything just looks gorgeous. You have green everywhere, lush hills, beautiful blue sky and clouds almost everywhere. So we like to share that with our guests when they're staying with us, and makes for wonderful photos.
Yeah, no, it really does. Very, very Instagrammable, definitely. I also saw that with the Airbnb, you also offer an extra of a soap making course.
Yes. We source all of our organic materials all around the world, mostly from Eastern Europe. And we will have soap making classes with our guests if they choose to do so. And we love to kind of share the historical way of doing it. It's a really neat, immersive experience, as well as plenty of wonderful soap and excellent smells. I'm more of a European, which is wonderful. We're trying to capture that European feel as well with the tiny house.
Yeah, definitely. So how does that process go then? I'm sort of new to it all. How would you go about making that soap? How would you do it with your guests?
Well, so we would have a table situated outside. We have a kind of a common area close to my family's house. And we have the very private area, the tiny house. So the guests would have to come down to there. And we would have several different kinds of clays, say kaolin clay, for example. It comes from Russia. And then they have several different local ingredients, such as lavender. Yeah. It's all very wonderful, though, when it comes together. It kind of gives it a certain flair and color, and everybody seems to really enjoy it. Most of our guests, every guest who stays with us, we give them two soaps and kind of ones they like. Kind of experiment, and it's fun that way. You get to learn more from the guests and learn more about the process.
Exactly.
This one or that one, etc.
Yeah, and then they get something to sort of take away with them and to remember the experience and to make it more
exactly.
Personal. Obviously, something you offer that sets you aside from other Airbnbs in the area.
Yeah, very much so.
So when you were saying about the sort of areas of your land, you've got like a private area for the tiny house. Obviously, you've got the level of views and everything around there. And then the communal area. Talk to me about that. So you're sort of looking to put more tiny houses on the future, sort of build a community, or what's the plan long term?
So the house is situated above the residential areas for myself and my family. Out of sight, out of mind. It's situated above the hill there, so you have a beautiful view looking into the valley of the McCollumy River and the North Fork, and just gorgeous trees everywhere you see. We just moved the house up to this new location before. It was a little bit closer to the home, but it's only a temporary site. And then we built this pad starting on April 30th, and the house was able to move up there on June 15th. Okay. And so we built a patio, we built a nice drive-in area, a little bit of landscaping, and soon we're hoping to do a wood fire pit as well as a wood hot tub in the future. Soon we're going to be we're actually in the process now of purchasing our second tiny home, also by Escape. It'll be an Escape Vista, and it's 188 square feet. It's 25 feet long, and there's only one on Airbnb situated in New York City there, or a couple hours away from it. Very unique design, windows in every which direction. So we feel like it would be the most wonderful experience for our guests to enjoy that on our property where we have views in every which way.
Exactly, so much natural light. And obviously, like you say, you can get a view from every direction, which is obviously great. I mean, your property sounds like it's got so many sort of lovely corners to have a look at and to explore. Yeah, so that sounds brilliant.
Thank you. Yeah, what we're trying to accomplish here, and also get feedback from the guests is most important. See what they like. And the Escape One has a 78-inch picture window, and most people, which is where the bar is built there, and many people maybe have breakfast or lunch or dinner there. And it looks out into this gorgeous 80-year-old oak tree. And, and then if you look a little bit to the left there, then you have the mountains.
Yeah, exactly. It sort of must be a nice place to sort of sit and read, do some work, do some writing. Obviously, like you say, just sort of sit and have your meals. And it's also an extra surface that you could use for, I'd imagine, kitchen area and everything like that. So it's sort of important to have those multifunctional places in tiny house.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What was so nice about the 1XL was that every room was to be used as a regular house. You have a functional living room. You have a guest bed. You have a master bed. You have a very livable bathroom. You have a separate composting toilet. You have a very large vanity space with plenty of cabinets and a standard sized tub and shower. And of course, you have room for four at the dining table and a pretty well-based kitchen. Everything, and then also having the 12-foot ceilings inside really makes it seem that much more spacious.
Exactly, yeah, the 12-foot ceilings I think is a big thing, because that really sort of adds to the space and sort of makes you feel like you're in a bigger space than you are. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, it doesn't make it feel much less tiny, but a little bit more homey.
Exactly, yeah, which is important, which is what you want to achieve. So a question that I'm sure a lot of people are sort of looking to hear the answer to is, how do you find it with the composting toilet?
Well, the composting toilet was a learning curve at first. Yet everything did exactly as it was designed and told to. It's a dehydrating composting toilet made in Sweden. And you have compostable bags, of course. They have to be changed out every 2 to 3 weeks. But with each of our guests, we change after each guest and keep it very sanitary, very clean. There is a internal fan there, which thus makes it dehydrating. It takes out any odor, makes it usable compost, very environmentally friendly.
Brilliant. That's good to hear. Yeah, because I'm sure that's something that a lot of people, especially if you're coming as a guest, would be skeptical about. So it's sort of good to hear that it's not some that you see sort of in... I'm sure you can imagine all of the ones that you sort of see pictures of or that you hear about all the stories online.
Oh, no.
And then something else, we got a lot of comments about this on the Instagram post I put on my story asking for questions. People really seem to like the sort of green accent that you've got going through the tiny house as well. I'll put some pictures up on the screen for those that are watching on YouTube and on Instagram. We've got the green bar stools, the green cushion, and just some more other accents around the house that sort of brighten it up a bit as well. Talk to me about that.
Well, my fiance loved green, and we especially like kiwi green. And so she was in Latvia at the time that the house arrived, and we wanted to have a more personalized experience, and her and I decorate together. So we went through several local stores and galleries, as well as do some online shopping, and found some pillows, found chairs as well, and lots of things in IKEA, of course, and others.
Exactly.
And that was the green accent throughout the house.
Exactly. It sort of adds something different, doesn't it? It's just another dimension that sort of you don't see elsewhere, which is nice, but sets it aside. Yeah,
tiny homes, they're meant to be colorful, they're meant to be artistic, and something that you don't always see every day. Why not breathe a little bit of life into it and add some color?
Yeah, no, I like that a lot. Very nice idea. And then also sort of how long is your tiny home actually?
It is 30 feet long, 35 feet with the tongue.
Okay.
And on the inside, it feels much longer, but on the outside, it's actually pretty maneuverable, surprisingly.
Yeah, okay.
It's just really the height that you might have some issue with.
Yeah. What was it like getting it up? Because obviously, like you say, it's on quite a big trailer. How was it getting it from the first site you initially had it to where it is now with the views?
It was quite the process. So we had a friend of ours, he has a tractor, full-size backhoe, and we hooked that up to a GMC truck that can pull upwards of 10,000 pounds. And then we had the ascent up onto this hill. And we had the two pulling each other, like a whole little train there, wagon train. And we were able to get it up there, though, in about 5 minutes. And everything was situated.
Really?
Everything was put in right there. And with all the hookups that we had built previously for it, and just worked like a dream, very thankfully.
Good stuff. No, sort of, yeah, like you say, it makes sense to have everything sort of set out and planned at first rather than just aimlessly pulling it and hoping for the best, yeah.
Definitely. That's what we're trying to do with this second house here, is we're in the process of building the pad and getting the hookups done. And then as soon as that's done, then we'll have to deliver.
Get everything prepared. What sort of date are you looking at for the delivery of the second one?
I'm hoping that right now we're going through payment. The build process should be probably beginning of October for a second week. And then Escape is a wonderful turnaround time. They can build even the most premium options on their homes within a month and a half at the most. So they very quick turnaround, and we really appreciate that.
Yeah, no, that's good. What's it been like working with Escape? How's it been?
It's been a wonderful experience. They've answered our questions. We have it delivered from Wisconsin. It's in Rice Lake, small town out there. And West Point, California, also being a small town, the delivery person did a phenomenal job. And we have some little bit difficult roads to maneuver, especially with a trailer. And there was not an issue. So we've had nothing but a great experience with them.
That is good to hear. That's very good to hear. And some other things sort of related to the house. Again, I'll put some pictures up on the screen for those that are watching. But it's nice to see, obviously, as you've got like a longer than average trailer, I'd say the 30 feet, you've been able to sort of fit in things that you don't often see in tiny homes. So for example, you've got two lofts, you've got one guest at one side, and then obviously the master bedroom at the opposite end. And then underneath the master, you've got sort of like a living area and a sofa. Is that sort of just a stock sofa off the shelf, or is it sort of customized for tiny house? Or?
Well, it's a funny question. So we got that sofa off of IKEA, and the dimensions said it would fit, but the house being 8.5 feet wide on the exterior, and I believe it was 7'8" on the inside with all the insulation, the walls. It looked like it would fit, and said it would fit. And so we're assembling the couch, putting it together, got the slid in, and we have this trim that goes around the edge there, half an inch thick. And the whole thing will not fit. And so we had to rip off the armrest there and spend a couple hours cutting through the plywood and reshaping it and reupholstering. And then it fit like a rug. It fit very snug and just fantastic.
Oh, good. So, God, that's such a pain, literally, thinking paper will fit perfectly, and then just the last second, that bit of trim must have been so annoying.
It was, like, oh, gosh, we did the trim, we did the couch, and so, couch it was.
Exactly. Yeah, in case you sort of think of changing things up in future, best to sort of leave the house as it is, rather than sort of tear up the trim and then realise that in a few months you decide you want something else there or whatever.
Definitely.
Good call. And also, it's a lot of people commented as well, saying it's really good to see sort of a full staircase rather than a ladder, because obviously that makes it more accessible to people where a ladder wouldn't work, or it's just easier to maneuver. You've sort of used up the space quite well as well. Have you got a storage inside the stairs, or what's the deal with those?
So there are three little drawers beneath the stairs there at the bottom level. And they're quite spacious. You can put shoes. If you have animals, you can put dog bowls, water bowls, etc. And then if you walk around to the living area at the couch, on the chaise lounge side, you have a full-size closet that goes back probably 6 feet.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's very spacious. We have all our cleaning things in there. So we have a Dyson vacuum. It's the most wonderful vacuum. It really makes the fitting after each guest that much easier.
Yeah.
And we have some games there as well stored for our guests. And it works out very well.
How have you found it? Have you found it sort of being in a tiny house easier to clean, easier to maintain and everything?
I would say so, yeah. We can get the whole house cleaned in roughly 3 to 3.5 hours. And that's a very deep clean. We've, even before the pandemic hit, We were doing every single antiviral measure we could. And it wasn't until recently that we discovered a fogging machine that sprays the same kind of virus killing remedy.
Gyms and things like that recently.
Yeah, they've been using them in hospitals for years. And recently the hospitality industry started using them as well. And it's greatly decreased the cleaning time, disinfecting into 10 minutes as opposed to an hour that it was before. So it's just been fantastic doing that.
Oh, brilliant stuff. That is good to hear. So you call it your Latvian retreat. What other sort of European flares, European accents have you got in the house?
So we have a Latvian ribbon that kind of goes around the catwalk as well as the master loft there. Very beautiful. It's the Latvian symbols all unstitched, as well as some magnets. We have pictures of Latvia that go throughout the home, going from places such as Vecrīga, an old town, as the capital city, as well as having them in Sigulda. It's a beautiful area. It's the most mountainous region of Latvia and some historical castles there.
Brilliant. And then just going back to the breakfast bar as well, I'm just looking at some photos here. That live edge slab there, was that a DIY or did that come part of the package from the house company?
No, we built that table completely. We used a sawmill that we have and cut the slab ourselves. I probably sat in that table for 72 hours till it was smooth enough, and it was a lot of work. And then stained it, epoxied some holes.
Yeah.
And it turned out much better than we could ever have hoped it would.
Yeah, no, it does look really smart. It's sort of nice to have that free flowing, because obviously, like you say, it's the house is obviously with all of the large windows and the linear design on the inside. It's nice to sort of see free flowing river sort of side. Yeah,
we wanted to kind of have a live edge feel with it being more in the mountainous areas as well, especially with all our oak trees. Also still maintaining the kind of Scandinavian European vibe throughout the house as well. So kind of blending the two.
And then in terms of the kitchen, what's been the feedback from the guests? Because obviously I can see you've got a large fridge, larger than in a lot of tiny houses, and you've got the oven and hob. Sort of caters for everything that people could need in the kitchen really now, doesn't it?
Yeah. We have a full-size fridge, very spacious. All of our guests really appreciate that. We'll have some guests that stay for maybe one night, two nights, and we have some guests that will stay upwards of a week or 2 weeks. And they always have plenty of space for all their delectables. And the oven, it works very well. Stovetop has been a little bit of a conflict. There used to be a closed top that would go over it to make it more into usable countertop space. Yet after a couple experiences with guests cracking and breaking them, we decided to just leave that off. Usually, though, when you buy the Furrion, it's made by Furrion there. You buy those ovens that are very common in tiny homes. They have the little cover that makes them more useful space.
Yeah, no, I've seen those before. That's good. And then also one more question I had as well related to the, obviously the breakfast bar you say was a DIY project. There's lots of other sort of things you've done yourself, furniture design, furniture making throughout the house. You've got the slats by the bed as well. What else have you sort of DIY'd in the house?
So let's see. I did slatted headboards. I did a slatted wall separating the master bedroom through the kitchen and guest loft area as you look through. I love it. It's probably my favorite thing I built as the light strains through. And in the evening, it just looks fantastic. I built the accent wall. There's a little storage cabinet that you can store maybe dry goods and in the kitchen. And so that was very fun to do. I did a coffee table built out of redwood in the living area. I built a magazine rack underneath it. That whole assembly, basically, for the coffee table I built. Yeah, that was a very fun project. And then after that, I built a little entertainment area underneath the TV that holds a sound bar and some candles, some LED candles that a little bit difficult to tell if they're real or not. They're just wonderful. those as well. Those candle holders are built out of redwood that was sourced here on the ranch. And yeah, it's been a wonderful and fun project with a couple more to come. We'll probably change the countertops into quartz or marble.
Okay.
In both the vanity and the kitchen. And then soon we'll add backsplash and in the kitchen as well, make it a little bit more complete, a little bit more custom. Right now we're debating whether we should change the flooring or keep it the way it is. So.
Okay, fair enough. What would be the option then if you're looking at changing that in future?
The flooring that came from Escape is vinyl strip flooring. Okay. It's very durable. However, the longevity of it can be shortened by spilling of liquids and such. We have had a small issue close by the door where people would be staying in the house during a severe rainstorm and the rain leaks through the door and it seeps into the floor there and it takes out the glue beneath the vinyl strip. No damage to the house, thankfully, whatsoever, but it's a pain. And so if we did choose new flooring, we would probably go with something, a very durable hardwood or with a very tough and sturdy laminate flooring, but it isn't as rich. Because also when you think of a tiny house, it's the same floor plan. You're going to be walking that floor plan all the time. It's going to be taking a lot more of a beating as opposed to a normal sized house. So it's a little bit of a difficult thing to outsource and find which companies, which materials would work the best.
Yeah. Like a tiny house, to get from A to B, there's only sort of so many options, whereas in another house, you could sort of, in a regular house, there's obviously, it's not as heavy traffic in specific areas, which is understandable. So it'd be good to sort of have something more durable that will sort of last and hold up against, especially another door. And like you say, sort of, and I imagine coming in with wet shoes and things like that wouldn't do it any favors either.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm just going to give a quick mention to Tiny House Ideas. So Tiny House Ideas is my business, is my company. It's been what I've been working on for the last 5 years in the long term, and especially over lockdown, over the last year or so, I've really put some time, energy and effort into building this business. So Tiny House Ideas obviously started with an Instagram page, and it has grown and developed into the business that it is today. It's the perfect free platform for anyone interested in the tiny house movement, in the tiny house community. First of all of the images that I feature on Instagram, you can find out more information. You can get a full fact file over on the website. As well as that, there's a really cool tool called Find Me a Builder, where for free, I will personally pair a few tiny house builders with you based on your requirements, and that will save you going through hours and hours of searching through Google results, take the stress out of it for you, really. And obviously, it's no obligation. I'll send you a few recommendations, and it's up to you what you do with them. Another section of the website is the approved builders section. So I've been working with a few tiny house builders that I really stand behind, that I see the value in their work. So there's a profile there to sort of tell you more about them, and so you can contact them directly if you've got any jobs that you're interested in. And finally, on the website, there's a section for tiny house vacations. So if you guys are looking to go away and to try the tiny house movement, to try the tiny house living, but don't know if you want to commit to it, if you don't want to live there just yet, then a vacation is a really, really great way to sort of get acclimatized, to learn more about it. And you can do that by clicking on the vacations tab of the Tiny House Ideas website and learning more and searching through some amazing holiday homes.
All right, I've got some questions here from followers that have been sent in, so I'm just going to go through some of those quickly. I had one person in the square footage. That's 340 square foot around that, isn't it, the house?
It is 308 square feet with both lofts. On the bottom level, I believe it is 200, somewhere in that range. The floor plan, which was what truly sold me on the house, is the most usable, most functional, I suppose, of the tiny houses. Yeah. With others, the kitchen is maybe too small. There's a lot of countertop space. Or there's too much, but they sacrifice the usability of it by not having stairs and having a ladder to the loft, and the ladder may be going right through the middle of the kitchen, and it's not very functional in my opinion.
Exactly. It is like a juggling act to sort of try and tick all of those boxes and make sure it's as functional as it can be whilst also being as usable as it can be. Because I mean, it's all well and good having something that does seven things, but I mean, if you have to put away something to do two other things that you need to do quickly, then obviously it sort of makes sense to find a happy medium, which I guess you guys have been able to sort of do there, which is really good.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then in terms of the size and square footage and everything, for the second house that you're sort of looking to get on the property, are you looking at the same sort of size, or are you looking at a bit smaller, a bit bigger?
It's going to be a bit smaller. It's going to be 108 square feet. Mm-hmm. And the Vista is going to be having, I believe it is 7 or 8 foot sidewalls. And pretty much just a straight rectangle. And not too exciting, but there's no loft. This time it's going to be a ground floor bedroom, ground floor kitchen, and the kitchen is very useful. Yeah. I would say that even has more countertop space than the 1XL. And yeah. So people who enjoy cooking and also enjoy to not have to face stairs or ladders, I think.
Yeah, no, it's sort of, like we said earlier with the stairs, it sort of caters for every eventuality, but even more having a, obviously as a space allows to have a ground floor bedroom as well, sort of saves climbing up the stairs or ladder or whatever, which is really good. And obviously yeah. when it gets delivered, I'm sure there'll be some pictures on Tiny House Ideas for the followers to have a look at and see how the second build's come along.
definitely.
So what, after that then, what do you think the plan is? Are you sort of going to look to continue building it after two, or is it going to sort of just be the two houses on the property, or what's the sort of longer term future plan, do you think, for the ranch?
So we'll probably, after that house, we'll probably get maybe one or two more. And our biggest thing is that we want all of our guests to have a very personalized, custom tailored experience. That's yeah. why Airbnb is such a wonderful platform, is mm-hmm. that hotels, they give a very generic, very cookie cutter experience, as they should for every guest. But with Airbnb, it gives the hosts a much better way of dealing with their guests and giving them a one-of-a-kind experience that they'll never forget. So thinking of that, we try to keep all the houses as far as possible while still keeping them within range of Wi-Fi, electricity, and water. We can get another house in there easily in the addition of the two that will be in the range of water as well as electricity and Wi-Fi while having space. But if we choose to go with more beyond those three, we would have to completely find a new way to find electricity, move it down there, and get water.
So obviously everyone's got their own private area, their own private space to sort of unwind and do their own thing. But then obviously if they choose to, then there's the option there. So if there's a bigger party, to sort of have obviously communal areas or whatever, so they can all sort of, yeah, like you say, build a community or also have their own space individually, which is nice, sort of best of both worlds. Let's have a look. Are there any other sort of DIY furniture projects that you're looking at in the near future, anything for outside? Because also you've got a lovely sort of area looking out over the view there. What are you planning for out there?
Well, for now, we just have a couple outdoor chairs. Yeah. On the patio, and but very soon, right now my fiance and I, we are in Croatia, but as soon as we get back to the States, we'll be building a outdoor couch and lounge, very lovely modern design that we found, and it'll probably be upwards of 7 to 8 feet long and 4 feet wide, so I believe people will very much enjoy that on the patio as well.
Oh, brilliant. It'll sort of be a nice place to get your feet up and just enjoy after a day of walking around or exploring the ranch to just sort of sit there and enjoy the view, keep warm. Yeah, no, it sounds like a lovely sort of romantic, lovely idea, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And has it been sort of using Airbnb as a platform to host your guests? Have you found that sort of worked out quite well?
It's been a mostly wonderful experience. Only a couple of times have we had difficulty getting through the Airbnb. About just a couple small things for insurance, or maybe a couple bad apples in guests. But other than that, though, we've had nothing but wonderful experiences with Airbnb.
Brilliant stuff. So what would you say if there's someone who's sort of got a tiny house or got a accessory dwelling unit that they're looking to rent out, what would you advise them if they were sort of looking at different hosting platforms or within regards to Airbnb, what would you say to them?
I would say don't stop at your just a simple experience. Try going above and beyond for your guests and have fun with it. for all our guests, we set out a bottle of wine. We give our handmade organic soap there. Sometimes for people who are having birthday parties or anniversary celebrations, we'll make brownies or maybe cake, just a small couple slices or something. And surprise our guests that way. We do handwritten cards to welcome our guests, and anything, everything that we can do for them to make their stay truly enjoyable, we do that. And for other people that wish to follow in the same realm, definitely do the small things. The small things that would count the most and the things that people remember.
Okay, that's some good advice. Yeah, sort of focus on the small things and make it a really personal experience and put your own personal spin on it, I guess, would be a conclusion of that, yeah. And then going on from advice to sort of people who are looking at Airbnbs, what would you say if there's someone who's currently looking into the prospect of building a tiny house, living in a tiny house, what would your advice be for them?
I would say that once you're interested in tiny living, I would recommend definitely trying on Airbnb, finding a house that is as close or identical to the one that you're interested in, and staying it for maybe a few days, maybe more, to see if it's truly livable and if it fits your needs. We've had a few people that have done that. We had a wonderful couple recently come from Central Mexico, and they were in the States there, and we're hoping to build a tiny house of their own in Mexico. They had lots of ideas and weren't sure if they would build one on a foundation or build on a trailer there on wheels. Mm-hmm. And they had many questions about insulation, water, plumbing, etc. And thankfully, we were able to answer all their questions and give them a wonderful experience in our 1XL. And they are right now, I believe, in the process of finding a builder in Mexico. So very exciting things.
Yeah, no, that's good to hear. So sort of anyone that's looking into it, it's worth sort of before you go sort of dive in headfirst to sort of experiment and sort of try living tiny to see if you can sort of envision yourself with sort of fewer possessions and with less space, and sort of rather than, yeah, like you say, just diving straight in, just give yourself a time to sort of get used to it.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay.
And how would you say people have who have sort of been to the tiny house before and that haven't stayed in a tiny house or haven't experienced small space living, although they're only there obviously for a short time, although you've got guests that stay up for 2 weeks, how has the process been for them sort of living with less for a few days?
Some people come with the mindset that, okay, less is more. We'll bring very few things, a bit of food, and we will just enjoy the moment, enjoy the house, enjoy the minimalist lifestyle. Yeah. And then there are the other people who bring as much things as they can fit in the house, as much food that they can cram into the refrigerator. And it's a little bit of a two different worlds colliding. I would say that every guest that we've ever had who arrives and then leaves all come away with a new meaning and new way of living with tiny homes and overall just being minimalist.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's interesting you say that, the sort of people come away from the experience realizing that there's more to life than sort of some people think or some people would assume, and you don't need everything that you have back at home, or there are things that you can do differently. And I'm sure, especially with the kitchen, there's so many people that have got 6 appliances in their kitchen at home that all do the same thing, whereas in a tiny house it sort of teaches you to be resourceful and that you can use one thing for 3 purposes. So I guess that's sort of a learning curve.
Yeah.
Brilliant. All right, I'm going to go through and find some more questions that we had from the Instagram story now. There's some people asking for some more pictures on the questions there, so I'll get those up on the screen and we'll do another Instagram post when the podcast goes live. But no, there's really good feedback from it. People asking about storage, actually. So obviously you've mentioned that you've got the big 6-foot wardrobe, the big 6-foot closet there, where you sort of got the cleaning equipment and everything like that, storage under the stairs. Is there any other sort of nifty hidden areas that you've got stuff tucked away, or?
Well, we have some nice cabinets. Well, not necessarily cabinets, but drawers. In the master loft, and they can easily fit clothes for 2, a nice couple. And so you can put pants, shorts, t-shirts, etc. And then coats, dresses, dress shirts, they all go in the closet. And then you can put your shoes in the drawers below the stairs. And then for kitchen, and if you have like multiple appliances such as blenders, juicers, all those kind of things, toasters, we have that kitchen cabinet there for dry goods and things like that, that are actually underneath the guest loft ladder, and that's where I built the accent wall. If you really needed more space than that, you could quite easily put some drawers and maybe a small cabinet above the kitchen on that shelving area. And for everybody else who has been here and stayed in the tiny house, everybody has very much been warmly welcomed with the amount of space.
Exactly. Sort of find a home for everything, which is good, especially when you're staying. Keep on top of everything. So would you say, is there anything that that doesn't fit, or is there anything that you'd change next time or accommodate more space for, less space for? What's been your main learning curve? What would you do differently next time, I guess?
I think my main learning curve is realizing what is too much and what is too little in terms of home decor. And I love interior design, and I'm more used to large spaces, thinking of ways on how to make it functional, but also decorative. I love Scandinavian interior design, and it's very much been an influence into that tiny home as well as the next one. The hardest part is thinking, okay, well, that's too much there, but there's this big wall here, but still can't have that much. Less is more, definitely, in tiny houses, and also trying to keep it soothing to the eye when you come into the house, not seeing so much busyness, so much clutter, which makes the house look dirty. That's a very tricky thing to learn when you first get a tiny home.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I can imagine. Something else I was going to ask was, for the new house coming up, obviously at the moment it's a Latvian retreat, are you sort of looking at theming the second tiny home, or are you looking at sort of going in a different direction with that, or?
Well, it's a very good question. We were just discussing this just a couple nights ago. Okay. So we have a Latvian retreat, and we have a brand based off of a Latvian retreat, but now we're kind of thinking maybe we should have a Croatian-themed tiny home, or perhaps a Estonian or Lithuanian, neighboring countries of Latvia-themed tiny houses as well. That's to be determined in the future here, but whatever it may be, very excited to decorate and style the home architecturally on the inside.
Yeah.
And possibly the out. We're going to be doing some exterior features as well onto the One XL soon, possibly adding some detachable slats that kind of give the house some texture. And soon we'll be adding corrugated metal skirting around the house, so the wheels and the trailer, as well as the tongue, will all be hidden from sight, making it look more like it's on a foundation.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you are sort of looking at going with different themes and looking at exploring different ideas, especially like the European influence, obviously. Like you said, your fiancé is Latvian, is she? Yes.
Yes, yes. Lots of it. I've been to Europe to see her now 4 times, and every time I see a new and beautiful thing, and it's the most wonderful experience to have a new appreciation for other countries' cultures and the people that you learn from, and her family as well. It's they're all amazing people.
Oh, good. It's sort of nice that I can imagine the guests to come, and it's something different rather than a standard tiny home. It's sort of, it gives you a taste of somewhere that they may not have been, or it sort of gives you, it shows you the influences from elsewhere. So it is sort of, it stands alone. And I'm sure there's, I at least haven't come across a Latvian inspired tiny house in America before. So it's nice to sort of see that stand by itself there. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. We had a couple from Germany at the beginning of the tiny house, and they were very familiar with Latvia and very familiar with the European decor that was throughout the home. And they appreciated it, that there were admirers of such things in America. To anybody who's listening, you can reach out to me and my family here to answer any questions about tiny homes that you may have. You can message us directly through Twin Rivers Tiny Home on Instagram. And you can also reach out to us on Airbnb. love to host your stay if you'd like to come and see us.
Brilliant. All of the links will be down in the description. If you're viewing this on YouTube or on the podcast apps, there'll be links to the Airbnb, to the Instagram website and everything. So if you guys are interested, you can check it out and go and stay at the Latvian retreat.
Appreciate
Brilliant.
It.
Well, it's been a pleasure speaking to you, and it's sort of been great to hear about your insights of behind the scenes being an Airbnb host and sort of looking at expanding to host more tiny homes on your property. It's been a pleasure to speak to you.
It's been wonderful speaking to you as well.
Brilliant. Thanks a lot.
As always, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Tiny House Ideas podcast. If you've got any questions, any suggestions, any questions for future episodes, any ideas, then please do get in touch. Instagram's the easiest way to reach me at Tiny House Ideas. If you'd like to support the podcast, as I've mentioned, it's available on Patreon to support, and we've got a private Discord group there where we can have the discussion. We can really break down the podcast, talk about each episode, talk about upcoming episodes, and also watch all of the new releases early.